How to Retire Without Freaking Out. Written by Joshua Emmanuel Walker. Narrated by Joshua Emmanuel Walker. My name is Joshua Emmanuel Walker, and welcome to my podcast. This podcast is based on the book, How to Retire Without Freaking Out. Simple strategies, real math, and zero financial fear-mongering. Introduction, why this book exists, and why I'm not here to scare you. Let me start with a confession. I did not grow up in a household where anyone sat around the table saying things like, okay, let's talk about retirement income planning. In my family, money was always present, just never planned. It was something you dealt with when it showed up, you know, and then you fought about it when it disappeared and avoided it when it made everybody uncomfortable. I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia, Falcons fan, so always disappointed. My grandfather was a Tuskegee Airman. Discipline, excellence, and service were a big part of the household culture. My parents were divorced, sadly, and my mom was very locally famous. If you lived in the city, you probably knew who she was. And my dad, well, he was always working out, building out his law practice, so everyone was doing well. But future planning wasn't really our strong suit. It wasn't really the culture. Bills were real, conversations were emotional, and the future was kind of vague. It was just, you know, school and job. But here's the thing, that's not unusual. Most people don't fail at retirement because they're irresponsible or bad with money. They fail because no one ever taught them how to think about the future calmly. Later, I went on to the University of San Diego and somehow studied both visual art and finance, which sounds super random until you realize retirement planning is exactly where emotion and numbers collide. Art taught me how people feel. Finance taught me how numbers behave. Real planning lives in the overlap. I worked in creative roles at Netflix and William Morris Endeavor. I lived in 8 different countries, and I learned 4 different languages. I saw how different cultures treat money, aging, and security. Then I moved into sales, home insurance, final expense, and sitting across from real people making real decisions at real kitchen tables. And over, I saw the same thing. People weren't afraid of math. They were afraid of uncertainty. This book exists to remove that fear, without doom, without hype, and without pretending that the future is predictable. Retirement doesn't require genius. It requires clarity. And that's what I aim to give you, so let's get you there. Chapter 1. Why everyone is freaking out and why you don't have to. If panic were a retirement strategy, cable news would legally be required to disclose conflicts of interest. Turn on the TV, open your phone, or scroll for 5 minutes and you'll hear some version of the same message. Social Security is running out, the dollar is collapsing, the market is rigged, you're behind, and if you don't act immediately, it's already too late. It's loud, it's relentless, and it works. Not because it's accurate, but because fear short-circuits thinking. Most people don't panic about retirement because they're bad with money. They panic because the conversation is framed like a countdown clock. Every headline implies urgency without clarity, and every solution is positioned as last chance. And every disagreement among experts gets presented as this sort of proof that nobody actually knows what's going on. That's enough to make anyone shut down. Here's what almost no one says out loud. Retirement planning is not an emergency. It's a long-term coordination problem, and the industry doesn't love that framing because calm people don't make rushed decisions. Fear is profitable. Calm is not. There's a reason so much financial content sounds apocalyptic. Fear creates urgency, and urgency creates compliance. When people are scared, they don't ask as many questions. They don't slow down. They don't compare options. They look for relief. But fear is a terrible foundation for long-term decisions. I've sat across from people who were convinced they were about to run out of time, even when the math clearly showed they weren't. I've also met people who were wildly confident and completely unprepared. In both cases, the problem wasn't intelligence, it was framing. Retirement gets treated like a cliff when it's actually a road, and roads can be mapped. Where my perspective comes from. I didn't grow up watching calm, rational retirement planning in action. I grew up in Atlanta in a family where money was always present, just never organized. Conversations about money weren't quiet or strategic. They were emotional, reactive, and usually happened after something went wrong. You know, my grandfather was a Tuskegee Airman, disciplined, precise, and forward-thinking, but like a lot of families, those values didn't always translate into financial planning across generations. My parents were divorced, and my mom was city famous, which is a polite way of saying people recognized her before they recognized stability. And my dad was building out his law firm, so everyone was doing well. But planning ahead, that wasn't the muscle anyone had been taught to use. So money became something you dealt with as it happened. Bills arrived, stress followed, and the future stayed abstract. No one ever sat me down and said, here's how we think about 20 or 30 years from now. And honestly, that's how most people grow up, which is why retirement feels intimidating later. Not because it's complex, but because it was never normalized. Retirement fear isn't about math. Here's something I learned early in this business. People aren't afraid of numbers, they're afraid of uncertainty. Uncertainty about how long they'll live, whether markets will cooperate, whether inflation will eat away at their lifestyle, whether they'll become a burden, or whether one mistake will undo decades of work. And when uncertainty goes unaddressed, fear fills the gap. The financial world loves to argue about predictions, but good retirement planning doesn't depend on being right about the future. It depends on building tolerance for a range of futures. You don't need certainty, you need resilience. The big lie, you're either safe or you're doomed. One of the most damaging ideas in retirement planning is the false binary that you're either perfectly prepared or catastrophically behind. Real life actually doesn't work like that. Most people are somewhere in the middle, doing some things right and some things poorly, and many things unconsciously. The goal isn't perfection, it's progress with intention. This book isn't here to tell you that everything will be fine no matter what you do, but it's also not here to scare you into believing everything is broken beyond repair. The truth lives in between. And here's why calm wins over time. When people are calm, they make better decisions. They stick to plans, they don't sabotage themselves during volatility, and they ask smarter questions. Calm doesn't mean passive, it means grounded. Retirement planning done well feels almost boring. And boring in this context is a compliment. No drama, no panic pivots, no chasing headlines, just steady decisions that compound. What this book will and won't do. This book will explain retirement concepts in plain English, use real math without overwhelming you, acknowledge uncertainty without amplifying it, treat you like an adult. This book will not predict market crashes, promise perfect outcomes, sell fear as a motivation, and assume that you're behind. If you're reading this, you're actually already ahead, not because of your balance, but because you're willing to engage with the future thoughtfully. That alone puts you in a different category. One final thought before we move on. Retirement planning isn't about controlling the future, it's about removing unnecessary stress from it. And the first step in doing that is realizing you don't need to freak out to get this right. In the next chapter, we'll strip retirement planning down to the only three questions that actually matter. And once you understand those, everything else becomes a lot less intimidating. Chapter 2. The only three questions retirement planning actually answers. Everything else is just noise. If you've ever tried to research retirement online, you already know how this goes. You start with a reasonable question like, am I on track? 20 minutes later, you're reading an article titled something like, Seven Moves You Must Make Before the Next Economic Reset Destroys Your Nest Egg. Your blood pressure is up, your coffee's cold, and you somehow feel both confused and judged. But here's the good news. Retirement planning is nowhere near as complicated as the internet makes it seem. In fact, when you strip away the jargon, the acronyms, the debates, and the personalities, every retirement plan in existence is answering just these three questions. Not 30, not 70, but three. Once you understand them, everything else either supports those answers or distracts from them. Question number one. How much income do you actually need? Notice the word income. How big does my bank account need to be? What's the magic retirement number? What did my coworker retire with? Income. Your portfolio doesn't pay your electric bill, income does. Most retirees replace about 60 to 80% of their working income in retirement. That range exists because payroll taxes go away, commuting costs disappear, saving for retirement stops, which is a very underrated perk. But at the same time, healthcare costs increase, leisure spending often goes up, and inflation quietly keeps doing its thing. This isn't guesswork, it's pattern recognition. The mistake people make is focusing on a giant number, I need millions of dollars, without asking what that money is supposed to do. $1 million sitting there doing nothing is just an expensive decoration. A quick reality check without panic. Here's something I tell clients all the time. You don't need to replace your lifestyle. You need to replace your paycheck. And that distinction matters. Retirement isn't a permanent vacation. It's a lifestyle shift. And when people plan based on income instead of balances, stress drops immediately. Because income is something you can actually design. Question number two. How long does that income need to last? This is the question everyone usually avoids, normally by joking about it. I don't plan on living that long. My family doesn't live forever. I'll just work part-time if I have to. Humor is fine, but denial is expensive. If you retire at 65, there's a very real chance your plan needs to last 25 years, 30 years, or more. Planning for longevity isn't pessimistic, it's respectful to yourself and to the people who care about you. One of the quiet ironies of modern retirement is that the biggest risk used to be dying too early. Now for many people, it's living longer than their money. That's not a problem to fear, it's a problem to plan for. Longevity isn't the enemy. Unplanned longevity is. People don't run out of money because they live long lives. They run out of money because income wasn't structured, risk wasn't managed, and withdrawals were reactive. A well-built plan assumes you might live a long time and doesn't punish you for it. Question number three. Where is the income coming from? This is where things usually get vague. People say things like, my 401k, my TSP, my 403b, the market, my investments, my CD. None of those are income sources. They're containers. Income comes from things like Social Security, pensions, if you're lucky, personal savings turned into withdrawals, guaranteed income sources, sometimes part-time work. Each one behaves differently. Each one shows up on a different schedule. And each one carries a different level of reliability. The problem isn't having multiple sources. The problem is not knowing which ones are dependable and which ones fluctuate. A retirement plan without clearly defined income sources is like a restaurant without a menu. Something might show up, but you won't know what it is until it arrives. Why these three questions calm everything down? Once these three questions are answered, even just roughly, something important happens. The noise fades and you stop reacting to headlines because you understand what they actually affect. You stop comparing yourself to other people because their plan has nothing to do with yours. And you stop confusing the market movement with personal failure. Retirement planning becomes less emotional because it becomes more intentional. Why most people never get clear answers. And here's the uncomfortable truth. These three questions are simple, but they don't sell well. There's no urgency baked into them, no shock value, and no fear trigger. And they don't create dramatic before and after stories, but they work. They turn retirement from a mystery into a framework. And here's one more honest observation. I've worked with single people, divorced people, couples married for decades, people who plan meticulously, and people who never planned at all. The ones who sleep best at night aren't the ones with the biggest accounts. They're the ones who know how much they need, how long it lasts, and where it's coming from. Everything else is refinement. Where we go next? Now that you understand the questions, we can finally talk about the math without it feeling intimidating. In the next chapter, we'll break down the real numbers behind retirement inflation, longevity, and why you don't need perfect predictions to build a solid plan. And I promise, yes, we'll keep it human. Chapter 3. The real math of retirement. No guessing, no hype, and no crystal balls. Let's clear something up right away. If retirement planning required perfect predictions, nobody would ever retire. You don't need to know where the market will be next year, or what inflation will do in 2041, or whether your cousin's once-in-a-lifetime investment opportunity is about to change everything. You don't need to time anything perfectly or outsmart the global economy. You just need math that forgives imperfection. Good retirement plans aren't built on brilliance. They're built on durability. They assume you'll be wrong sometimes, that life will surprise you, and that the markets will misbehave at inconvenient moments. The goal isn't to predict the future. It's to survive a wide range of futures without panic. That distinction changes everything. Why retirement math feels scarier than it is? Most people think they're afraid of math, but that's not really the issue. What they're afraid of is what the math might say. Numbers feel final, they feel judgmental in a way, and they don't care how hard you worked or how unfair things felt along the way. So instead of engaging with math, people avoid it. They substitute headlines, opinions, or hope. And hope, while emotionally comforting, is terrible at compounding. The irony is that retirement math is actually much simpler than it's presented. The complexity usually comes from people trying to outsmart themselves or trying to sound smart, not from the problem itself. At its core, retirement math answers one basic question. Can your income support your lifestyle for as long as you're alive without relying on luck? That's it. Inflation, the quiet background noise. Inflation doesn't arrive like a monster kicking down the door. It's more like a slow leak you don't notice until the room feels colder. Year to year, inflation feels manageable, 5% here, 3% here, but over decades, it quietly changes the math. What feels comfortable today won't feel the same 20 years from now, even if your lifestyle hasn't changed at all. This is where people get tripped up. They hear dramatic warnings about inflation, destroying their purchasing power, and either overreact or completely tune out. The truth is somewhere in the middle. Inflation is real, predictable over long periods, and entirely plannable for. It doesn't require heroics, it just requires acknowledgement. When retirement plans fail, it's rarely because inflation was higher than expected. It's because inflation wasn't accounted for at all. Longevity planning for a long life without jinxing it. There's a strange superstition around planning to live a long time, as if acknowledging longevity somehow tempts fate. It doesn't. Planning for a long life doesn't make you live longer. It just prevents you from running out of money if you do. One of the biggest shifts in modern retirement is that people are living longer than the systems designed to support them. Social Security was never meant to cover everything, and pensions are rare, and personal savings now have to carry more weight for more years. This isn't a failure of the system. It's the result of success. People are healthier, medicine is better, and longevity is increasing. A good retirement plan treats a long life as a feature, not a problem. The difference between averages and reality. You'll often hear that the market averages about 7 or 8% over time. That may be true in a broad historical sense, but averages don't pay the bills. Retirement doesn't care about long-term averages. It cares about what happens when you're withdrawing money. Two people can experience the same average returns over 30 years and have two completely different outcomes based on timing. Early losses hurt more than later ones. Withdrawals during downturns compound damage faster than most people realize. And this is why retirement planning isn't just about growth, it's about sequencing, structure, and stress testing. If your plan only works when markets behave, it's not a plan, it's a wish. Money is energy in the least mystical way possible. Here's the simplest way I found to explain retirement math without making people glaze over. Money is energy, not in a crystal on the nightstand way, but in a practical way, in a mechanical way. It flows in, it flows out. It compounds when treated well and leaks when it's ignored. Retirement planning is about managing that energy so it doesn't escape faster than it's replenished. Uncertainty creates leaks. Panic creates leaks. Poorly timed decisions create massive leaks. A calm, structured plan plugs most of them automatically. When people feel financially drained in retirement, it's rarely because they didn't earn enough. It's because energy was leaking everywhere and no one could show them where. You don't need precision, you need margin. One of the biggest myths in retirement planning is that you need precise answers. You don't. You need margin. Margin is what allows you to adjust without stress. It's what lets you weather bad years without rewriting your entire plan. It's what keeps you from making emotional decisions when markets wobble. The best plans assume markets will misbehave, expenses will surprise you, and life will change. And then they build room for all of it. That's not pessimism, that's maturity. Why calm math beats clever math? Clever math looks impressive on paper. Calm math works in real life. Clever math requires everything to go right. Calm math only requires that not everything goes wrong at once. When people tell me they want a simple plan, what they're really saying is that they want a plan they can stick with even when they're tired, distracted, or stressed. That's the kind of math this book is built on. Where do we go from here? Now that you understand the math framework, we can talk about the systems that sit on top of it. In the next chapter, we'll break down Social Security, what it actually is, what it isn't, and why it was never meant to be your entire plan, despite what the headlines suggest. And don't worry, we'll keep it calm. Social Security, what it is, what it isn't, and why it was never meant to do everything. If Social Security was a person, it'd be exhausted. Everyone expects it to do everything, support everyone, last forever, and never complain, all while being constantly told it's about to run out. It's no wonder people are confused. And for decades, Social Security has been framed as these massive extremes. Either it's collapsing tomorrow or it's something you can rely on entirely if you just wait long enough. Neither is true. The reality is much less dramatic and far more useful. Social Security was designed to be a foundation, not a lifestyle. It was meant to keep older Americans out of poverty, not to replace their income entirely or fund 30 years of travel, hobbies, and grandchildren. Understanding that one fact removes most of the fear. The context nobody mentions. When Social Security was created, people didn't live nearly as long as they do today. The system was built at a time when retirement was shorter, families were larger, and fewer people collected benefits for decades. It worked well in that context, but the problem isn't that Social Security is broken. It's that expectations changed while the structure stayed mostly the same. Today, people retire earlier, they live longer, and expect more flexibility. That means Social Security now has to stretch further, which it does, imperfectly, but not uselessly. The running out myth. Here's where the headlines tend to mislead. You're often going to hear that Social Security is running out of money. What that usually means is that the trust fund reserves are projected to be depleted at some point in the future. Even in those scenarios, payroll taxes would still fund a large portion of benefits. In other words, this isn't a lights-off situation. It's a benefits adjustment conversation, if anything. Those adjustments could come in the form of higher taxes, delayed claiming ages, benefit formula changes, or some combination of all three. None of that is ideal, but none of it means Social Security disappears. Well, the system may change. It may become less generous, but it is extraordinarily unlikely to vanish. Social Security is insurance, not investment. One reason Social Security causes so much anxiety is because people treat it like an investment. It isn't. You don't control it, you don't allocate it, and you don't rebalance it. and you can't optimize it the way you would a portfolio. It's a social insurance program, and it behaves like one. That's not a criticism. It's just a classification. When you understand Social Security as a baseline income stream, one that shows up consistently and adjusts with inflation, it becomes much easier to integrate into a larger plan without overestimating its role. Claiming age, the decision that isn't a test. Claiming age is where most of the noise lives. You take a Social Security early, at full retirement age, or later. Each option comes with trade-offs. Claim early and you receive smaller checks for longer. Wait longer and the checks are larger, but for fewer years. There is no universally right or wrong answer. There is only a contextually right answer. The problem is that people frame this decision as a test they might fail. In reality, it's a coordination problem. Your health, income needs, other assets, marital status, and goals all matter more than optimizing a single number. A slightly smaller check received calmly and intentionally often beats a slightly larger check received under stress. Spousal and survivor considerations. Another common misunderstanding is how Social Security fits into household planning. For couples, survivor benefits and spousal considerations can matter just as much as individual optimization. A decision that looks suboptimal on paper may make perfect sense when viewed through the lens of protecting a surviving spouse or creating income continuity. Again, this is about coordination, not maximization. The biggest mistake people make with Social Security is treating it as either irrelevant or sufficient. It's neither. It's relevant, reliable, and limited. When people build retirement plans assuming Social Security will save them, they end up disappointed. When they build plans assuming it won't exist at all, they often oversave, overstress, and underenjoy their working years. The healthiest approach lives in the middle. Social Security works best when it's paired with other income sources, personal savings, pensions where available, and structured income designed to fill the gaps. When that layering happens, Social Security stops feeling like a cliffhanger and starts feeling like what it actually is, a steady baseline you can count on, and that's enough. The calm takeaway. If you take nothing else from this chapter, take this. Social Security doesn't need to be perfect to be useful. It just needs to be understood correctly. Chapter 5. The Silent Risk Nobody Explains. Why timing matters more than average returns. If you've ever been told the market averages about 7 or 8% over time, congratulations, you've been given a true statement that is also wildly unhelpful. Averages are great for textbooks. Retirement happens in real life. The market does not send you an annual apology letter explaining that this year was a below average, but don't worry, it'll all work out in the long run. Your bills do not care about long-term averages. They care about what happens this year while you're withdrawing money. This is where one of the biggest retirement risks quietly lives, not in market crashes themselves, but in when those crashes occur. What sequence of returns actually means. Sequence of returns risk sounds complicated, but the idea is quite simple. It refers to the order in which investment returns happen, especially early in retirement, when you're taking money out instead of putting it in. When you're working and contributing, bad years early don't hurt much. You're buying assets at lower prices, and time is on your side. When you're retired and withdrawing, bad years early can do real damage. You're pulling money out of a shrinking pool, which leaves less behind to recover when markets rebound. Same average return, completely different outcome. Two retirees. Same returns, very different lives. Imagine two people who retire with the same amount of money and experience the same average market return over 30 years. One retires into a strong market and sees positive returns in the early years. The other retires in a downturn. On paper, their averages look identical. In reality, one enjoys a smoother retirement while the other spends years anxious, cutting back, or worse, running out of money early. The difference wasn't intelligence. It wasn't effort, it was timing. This is why retirement planning can't rely on averages alone. The early years matter disproportionately. Why this risk is so often ignored. Sequence risk doesn't sell well. It's not dramatic, it doesn't have a villain, and it doesn't lend itself to bold predictions. It's also inconvenient for simple investment narratives built around long-term growth and optimism, so it gets skipped. But for retirees, it's one of the most important risks to address because once you're in, there's no rewind button. Why just ride it out isn't always the best option. During your working years, ride it out is usually good advice. You have time, you have income, you're adding to your portfolio, not draining it. But retirement changes the equation. When the markets drop and you're withdrawing income at the same time, you're forced to sell assets at depressed prices that locks in losses and reduces future growth potential. This doesn't mean markets are bad. It means withdrawals need structure. A plan that assumes markets will cooperate right when you need them to is fragile by design. The emotional cost of early losses. Sequence risk isn't just mathematical, it's psychological. Retiring into a volatile or a declining market can erode confidence quickly. People start second-guessing themselves. They delay spending on things they worked decades for. They lose sleep. And even if the math eventually recovers, the emotional damage can linger. A good retirement plan protects not just the numbers, but the person living with them. How smart plans reduce sequence risk. You don't eliminate sequence risk, you manage it. That usually means not relying on a single source of income, separating growth money from income money, building buffers that allow you to avoid selling assets during downturns, and coordinating withdrawals intentionally instead of reactively. This isn't about market timing, it's about income timing. The goal is to give your investments time to recover while your income remains stable. The shift in perspective. Once people understand sequence risk, something clicks. They stop obsessing over beating the market and start focusing on sustainability. They realize that volatility isn't the enemy, but poor timing is. This is also where many people first see the value of guaranteed income, income layers, and planning that isn't dependent on perfect conditions. You don't need markets to behave perfectly. You need your plan to behave predictably. The calm takeaway. Sequence risk is silent because it doesn't announce itself. It just compounds quietly in the background. But once it's understood, it becomes manageable. And that understanding alone prevents more retirement failures than chasing higher returns ever will. In the next chapter, we'll talk about why just investing and hoping isn't a plan, and how retirement shifts the rules of the game entirely. Chapter 7. Income changes everything. Why predictable cash flow is the real goal. At some point, every retirement conversation stops being about numbers and starts being about feelings. Not fear exactly, more like uncertainty. The kind that sits quietly in the background and asks questions like, what if I live longer than expected? Or what happens if the market has a bad decade? This is where income comes in. Not growth, not projections, not averages. Income. Why income feels different than savings? There's a psychological difference between having money and receiving money. Savings feel abstract. They fluctuate. They invite second guessing. Income feels tangible. It shows up. It creates rhythm and it lets your brain relax. That's why paychecks feel safer than balances, even if the balance is technically large enough. Retirement planning works best when it respects this reality instead of pretending people are robots who never feel stress. The shift from how much to how often. During your working years, the question is usually, how much do I have? In retirement, the question becomes, how often does money arrive? That shift is subtle, but powerful. When income is regular, spending decisions feel easier, travel feels possible, and helping family feels less risky. Life becomes less about guarding resources and more about using them intentionally. Predictability creates and changes behavior. Guaranteed income isn't about fear, it's about freedom. Guaranteed income often gets misunderstood. People hear the word guaranteed and assume it means conservative, restrictive, or pessimistic. In reality, it often creates the opposite effect. When a portion of your income is guaranteed, you don't have to protect every dollar as if it's irreplaceable. you gain permission to take reasonable risks elsewhere, knowing that your essentials are covered no matter what markets do. It's not about avoiding risk entirely, it's about choosing where risk belongs. Layering income instead of betting on one source. One of the most fragile retirement plans is the one that relies on a single income strategy. Markets do not behave consistently, and expenses don't arrive evenly. Life doesn't move in straight lines. Layered income solves this by design. Social Security provides a baseline, other income sources fill gaps, and growth assets stay invested longer because they aren't being drained constantly. Cash reserves act as shock absorbers instead of emergency exits. Each layer has a job. No single piece is under pressure to perform miracles. Income buys time, and time buys better decisions. One of the most underrated benefits of income planning is time. When income is stable, you don't have to react quickly to market events. You can wait. You can adjust gradually. You can let volatility pass without turning temporary downturns into permanent mistakes. Time is the most valuable asset in retirement, and income is what it creates. Why people feel richer with less stress? This is something I've seen repeatedly. Two people with the same net worth can feel completely different about retirement depending upon how their income is structured. The one with predictable income almost always reports higher confidence and satisfaction, even if their total assets are slightly lower. That's not irrational, it's human. Security isn't about maximizing numbers, it's about minimizing regret and anxiety. Income as energy revisited. Earlier in the book, we talked about money as energy. Income is just energy in motion. When it flows consistently, there's less leakage, less hoarding, and less fear-based decision-making. When energy gets blocked, when income feels uncertain, people tighten up, and sometimes unnecessarily so. A good income plan keeps energy moving without forcing it. The calm takeaway. Retirement stops feeling scary when income becomes reliable. Not because nothing can go wrong, but because not everything can go wrong at once. Income changes the experience of retirement more than any other factor. It turns uncertainty into structure and savings into livability. In the next chapter, we'll talk about taxes, not as a burden, but as something that can quietly undermine good plans if ignored. Chapter 8. The Retirement Tax Trap. Why what you keep matters more than what you earn. Most people don't retire because they've made enough money. They retire because they've made enough usable money. And taxes are the difference. Taxes don't usually ruin retirement plans dramatically. They erode them quietly. A little extra withheld here, a surprise tax bill there, higher Medicare premiums triggered by income you didn't realize counted. By the time people notice, the damage is already done. The illusion of pre-tax wealth. One of the biggest misunderstandings in retirement is confusing account balances with spendable income. If a large portion of your savings lives in tax-deferred accounts, that money isn't entirely yours yet. It's a joint account with the government, and they collect when withdrawals begin. This doesn't make tax-deferred accounts bad. They're incredibly useful, but they come with strings, and pretending those strings don't exist is how people get blindsided. $1 million before tax does not feel the same as $1 million after tax. Retirement planning has to acknowledge that reality up front. Why taxes often rise in retirement? Many people assume their taxes will drop in retirement, and sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't. Social Security can be taxable. Required minimum distributions can push income higher than expected. Investment income can stack in ways that trigger higher brackets or Medicare surcharges. The surprise isn't that taxes exist, it's that they don't always behave the way people were promised. The good news is that none of this is random, it's structural, and structure can be planned for. Required minimum distributions, the silent accelerator. Required minimum distributions, or RMDs, don't care whether you need the money. Once they begin, they force income whether you want it or not. That income adds to your taxable picture and can create a domino effect, which means higher taxes, higher Medicare premiums, and less flexibility in later years. RMDs are not a punishment. They simply are the trade-off for years of tax deferral. But like any trade-off, they should be managed intentionally. Why tax planning is really income planning. In retirement, taxes are driven less by what you own and more by how you withdraw it. Two people with identical assets can pay vastly different taxes depending upon the order of timing and sources of their income. This is why tax planning isn't something you do once, it's something you coordinate. Strategic withdrawals, timing income streams, and understanding thresholds matter far more than chasing deductions. Good tax planning doesn't try to eliminate taxes, it tries to smooth them out. The hidden tax, losing flexibility. The biggest tax problem in retirement often isn't the IRS, it's inflexibility. When all your income is taxed the same way, you lose control. When income hits automatically without planning, you lose options. When tax surprises dictate decisions, stress rises fast. Flexibility is the real asset. Retirement plans that include multiple tax treatments give you choices, and choices create calm. Why I'll deal with taxes later rarely works. Taxes are easiest to manage before you need the money. Waiting until retirement to think about taxes often means reacting instead of planning, and by then the rules are set, the accounts are built, and the levers are fewer. Planning earlier doesn't mean locking yourself into a rigid strategy. It means creating options you can use later or not. Calm takeaway is that taxes aren't the enemy. Surprise taxes are. A good retirement plan treats taxes as a known variable and not an afterthought. When tax planning is coordinated with income planning, the result is more money in your pocket and fewer unpleasant surprises. In the next chapter, we'll talk about the risks that actually matter and why most of them have nothing to do with the stock market. Chapter 8. The Retirement Tax Trap. Why what you keep matters more than what you earn. Most people don't retire because they've made enough money. They retire because they've made enough usable money. And taxes are the difference. Taxes don't usually ruin retirement plans dramatically. They erode them quietly. A little extra withheld here, a surprise tax bill there, higher Medicare premiums triggered by income you didn't realize counted. By the time people notice, the damage is already done. The illusion of pre-tax wealth. One of the biggest misunderstandings in retirement is confusing account balances with spendable income. If a large portion of your savings lives in tax-deferred accounts, that money isn't entirely yours yet. It's a joint account with the government, and they collect when withdrawals begin. This doesn't make tax-deferred accounts bad. They're incredibly useful, but they come with strings, and pretending those strings don't exist is how people get blindsided. $1 million before tax does not feel the same as $1 million after tax. Retirement planning has to acknowledge that reality up front. Why taxes often rise in retirement. Many people assume their taxes will drop in retirement, and sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't. Social Security can be taxable. Required minimum distributions can push income higher than expected. Investment income can stack in ways that trigger higher brackets or Medicare surcharges. The surprise isn't that taxes exist, it's that they don't always behave the way people were promised. The good news is that none of this is random, it's structural, and structure can be planned for. Required minimum distributions, the silent accelerator. Required minimum distributions, or RMDs, don't care whether you need the money. Once they begin, they force income whether you want it or not. That income adds to your taxable picture and can create a domino effect, which means higher taxes, higher Medicare premiums, and less flexibility in later years. RMDs are not a punishment. They simply are the trade-off for years of tax deferral. But like any trade-off, they should be managed intentionally. Why tax planning is really income planning. In retirement, taxes are driven less by what you own and more by how you withdraw it. Two people with identical assets can pay vastly different taxes depending upon the order of timing and sources of their income. This is why tax planning isn't something you do once, it's something you coordinate. Strategic withdrawals, timing income streams, and understanding thresholds matter far more than chasing deductions. Good tax planning doesn't try to eliminate taxes, it tries to smooth them out. The hidden tax, losing flexibility. The biggest tax problem in retirement often isn't the IRS, it's inflexibility. When all your income is taxed the same way, you lose control. When income hits automatically without planning, you lose options. When tax surprises dictate decisions, stress rises fast. Flexibility is the real asset. Retirement plans that include multiple tax treatments give you choices, and choices create calm. Why I'll deal with taxes later rarely works. Taxes are easiest to manage before you need the money. Waiting until retirement to think about taxes often means reacting instead of planning, and by then the rules are set, the accounts are built, and the levers are fewer. Planning earlier doesn't mean locking yourself into a rigid strategy. It means creating options you can use later or not. Calm takeaway is that taxes aren't the enemy. Surprise taxes are. A good retirement plan treats taxes as a known variable and not an afterthought. When tax planning is coordinated with income planning, the result is more money in your pocket and fewer unpleasant surprises. In the next chapter, we'll talk about the risks that actually matter and why most of them have nothing to do with the stock market. Chapter 9. Risks that actually matter. It's not just the market. When people talk about retirement risks, they almost always mean the market. Will stocks crash? Will bonds underperform? Will the economy fall apart at the worst possible time? Those risks are real, but they're usually not the ones that derail retirement plans. The biggest retirement risks don't show up on CNBC. They show up quietly, gradually, and often without warning. There's a longevity risk, outliving the plan. The most obvious risk is also the most uncomfortable to talk about, living longer than expected. This isn't a bad problem to have, but it is a planning problem. Every extra year of life requires income, healthcare, and flexibility. Plans built around average lifespans tend to break when reality extends beyond the spreadsheet. Longevity doesn't require dramatic assumptions, it requires humility. Planning for a long life isn't pessimistic, it's practical. Healthcare risk, the expense everyone underestimates. Healthcare costs don't behave like normal expenses. They arrive unpredictably and they escalate over time, and often cluster late in life when income flexibility is lowest. Even people with Medicare are often surprised by out-of-pocket costs, supplemental coverage decisions, and long-term care considerations. The risk isn't just cost, it's timing. A plan that works beautifully on paper can be destabilized by one poorly timed health event if there's no buffer in it. Cognitive risk, decision-making changes. This is a sensitive topic, but it matters. As people age, decision-making can become harder, not always dramatically, and not for everyone, but enough that planning for it is wise. Good retirement plans anticipate that future you may not want to actively manage complex strategies. Simplicity and structure become assets, not limitations. This isn't about losing independence, it's about preserving it. Family risk, the plans you didn't make. Retirement rarely unfolds in isolation. Adult children need help, grandchildren need support. Parents age, relationships change. Financial plans get stretched in ways no one anticipated. These aren't failures of planning, they're realities of life. The risk comes from having no margin, no room to help without harming your own security. Behavioral risk, panic, inaction, and regret. One of the most dangerous retirement risks isn't external at all. It's behavior. Panic during downturns, overreacting to headlines, freezing when decisions are needed, or doing nothing for too long because everything feels overwhelming. These risks compound quietly, and they don't show up in projections. The best retirement plans are designed to reduce the need for emotional decisions during stressful moments. Why risk management is really about reducing regret. Retirement risks isn't about avoiding bad outcomes entirely. That's impossible. It's about avoiding the kind of regret that comes from preventable mistakes, selling at the wrong time, delaying action too long, or realizing too late that no one thought about a particular scenario. Managing risk is less about predicting disasters and more about preparing for inconvenience. The calm takeaway from this is, markets will fluctuate. That's expected. The risks that matter most are the ones that touch daily life, health, longevity behavior, and family. A strong retirement plan doesn't try to eliminate risk. It prioritizes which risks matter most and builds around them. In the next chapter, we'll talk about simplicity and why the best plans often look boring on paper but feel powerful in real life. Chapter 10. Simple works better. Why boring plans win. If you've ever felt slightly embarrassed that you don't understand half of what financial experts talk about, let me relieve you of that burden. Most of it isn't necessary. In fact, complexity is one of the biggest enemies of a good retirement plan. Not because complicated strategies never work, but because they're harder to maintain, harder to explain, and easier to abandon at exactly the wrong moment. Simple doesn't mean unsophisticated. Simple means resilient. Complexity feels smart until life happens. Complex plans look impressive on paper. They have more moving parts, contingencies, and clever mechanisms that assume constant attention and perfect execution. Retirement rarely cooperates with that assumption. Life introduces distractions, health changes, energy shifts, and priorities evolve. A plan that requires constant tinkering becomes a burden instead of a tool. The best plans are the ones that keep working even when you stop thinking about them every day. Simplicity reduces mistakes. Most retirement failures aren't caused by bad markets. They're caused by bad timing and emotional decisions layered on top of unnecessary complexity. When plans are simple, decisions become clearer. When decisions are clearer, mistakes are less likely. When mistakes are fewer, outcomes improve. This isn't a theory. It's pattern recognition. Boring plans are easy to stick with. There's a strange truth in retirement planning. The plans people stick with outperform the plans that look better on paper. A boring plan doesn't demand constant validation. It doesn't tempt you to make changes. Every time a new headline appears, it quietly does its job while you live your life. Consistency beats creativity in retirement. Simplicity isn't the same as doing nothing. Simple doesn't mean passive or careless. It means intentional. A simple plan still accounts for income, taxes, and longevity. It just does so without unnecessary layers, jargon, or clever tricks. Think of it like good architecture. You don't notice it when it works. You only notice when it doesn't. Why confidence comes from clarity. One of the most underrated benefits of simplicity is confidence. When people understand their plan, they trust it. When they trust it, they don't constantly second-guess themselves. That confidence spills into spending decisions, lifestyle choices, and overall enjoyment of retirement. People who understand their plan feel richer even when their numbers are identical to somebody else's. The calm takeaway from this is, the best retirement plans aren't the ones that impress strangers at dinner parties. They're the ones that let you sleep at night. Simple, clear, and boring wins every time. In the next chapter, we'll talk about when and why getting help makes sense. Chapter 11. Help isn't a weakness, what a good advisor actually does. There's a strange myth around money that says needing help means you failed. If you were smarter, you'd figure it out yourself. If you were disciplined enough, you wouldn't need guidance. If you just read one more article, listened to one more podcast, or watched one more video, it would all click. That myth does a lot of damage. Retirement planning isn't a test of intelligence, it's a coordination problem. And coordination is exactly where outside perspective helps most. The difference between advice and sales, and this is important, I want you to pay attention to this. Not everyone who talks about money is there to help you plan. Some are there to sell a product, a strategy, or a story that benefits them more than you. A good advisor doesn't start with solutions, they start with questions. They don't lead with certainty, they lead with curiosity. And they don't rush you into decisions that lock you in before you understand what's happening. If someone feels pressure-heavy, jargon-filled, or oddly dismissive of your concerns, trust that instinct. Planning should reduce anxiety, not create it. What an advisor can see that you can't. Even very capable people struggle to plan objectively for themselves, not because they're uninformed, but because they're emotionally involved. Money carries history, family patterns, fear, pride, regret, hope. It's hard to see clearly when you're inside the system. A good advisor brings distance. They see interactions between taxes, income, risk, and timing that are hard to spot when you're focused on one piece at a time. They also notice blind spots, not to criticize, but to protect you from future stress. The role of judgment-free guidance. One of the most underrated qualities in a good advisor is emotional neutrality. No shaming, no lectures, no "you should have done this earlier," just clarity. People come into planning at different stages with different histories and constraints. The job isn't to rewrite the past, it's to improve the future with the tools available now. Good guidance meets you where you are and builds forward from there. Why the relationship matters more than the strategy. Retirement planning isn't a one-time event, it's a long conversation. Your needs will change, markets will change, tax laws will change, and life will change. A good advisor relationship evolves with you. It adapts, it updates, it stays relevant. If you wouldn't trust someone with a major life decision, they probably shouldn't be guiding your financial ones either. Independence doesn't mean doing it alone. One of the biggest misconceptions about working with an advisor is that you're giving up control. You're not. You're outsourcing complexity, not authority. The best advisor-client relationships feel collaborative. You remain informed, you remain involved, and you remain the final decision maker. The advisor's role is to organize information, clarity trade-offs, and help you avoid unnecessary mistakes, not to dictate your life. Trust is built, not claimed. Anyone can say they're trustworthy. Trust is built through transparency, patience, and consistency over time. You should feel comfortable asking questions, you should understand recommendations being made, and you should never feel rushed into something you don't fully grasp. If you leave conversations feeling calmer and clearer, that's a really good sign. The calm takeaway. Needing help doesn't mean you failed. It means the problem is complex enough to deserve attention. The right guidance doesn't take power away from you. It gives you structure, clarity, and confidence so that you can focus on living instead of worrying. In the next chapter, we'll bring everything together. Not with more theory, but with how to think about retirement as a chapter of life, not just a financial event. Chapter 12. Retirement isn't the end. It's the point. Designing a life, not just an exit strategy. Somewhere along the way, retirement got framed as an ending. The end of work, the end of productivity, the end of relevance. That framing is wrong. And it's part of why so many people feel anxious instead of excited when they think about it. Retirement isn't the finish line. It's the moment you finally stop living around money and start letting money live around you. The shift in relationship. For most of your adult life, money tells you what to do. It dictates schedules, shapes decisions, and quietly limits possibilities. Even when things are going well, there's always an underlying awareness that income is tied to effort, time, or obligation. Retirement changes that relationship. At its best, retirement is when money becomes a support system, not a driver. It fades into the background where it belongs, doing its job quietly while you focus on living. That doesn't happen by accident. It happens by design. What all the planning was for. Throughout this book, we've talked about math, risk, income, taxes, simplicity, and structure. But all of those are just tools. None of them are the point. The point is freedom, not the loud, flashy kind, but the quiet kind that shows up in your everyday life. Freedom to wake up without urgency, freedom to spend without guilt, freedom to help without fear, freedom to say yes, and just as importantly, no. The identity shift. One of the most overlooked parts of retirement planning is identity. For decades, work provides structure, purpose, and validation, and when that disappears, people are often surprised by how disorienting it feels. This isn't a weakness, it's normal. A good retirement plan doesn't just replace income, it makes space for meaning. That meaning might come from family, creativity, service, travel, learning, or rest. There is no correct version. The only mistake is assuming it will magically appear without intention. Planning your finances gives you the bandwidth to plan your life. The holistic view. This is also where a holistic approach matters. Money doesn't exist in isolation. It touches health, relationships, energy, and peace of mind. When financial stress is reduced, everything else tends to improve. Conversations get lighter, decisions feel less heavy, and time feels less scarce. That's not accidental. That's what happens when energy stops leaking. The quiet truth. If there's one quiet truth I hope this book leaves you with, it's this. You don't need to have everything figured out to move forward. You just need clarity, structure, and a plan that respects reality, not fear, not hype, and not perfection. Retirement certainty doesn't come from knowing exactly what will happen. It comes from knowing you'll be okay, even when things don't go exactly as planned. What this book is really about? This book wasn't written to tell you what to buy, what to choose, or what to believe. It was written to help you stop freaking out, to replace noise with understanding, to replace fear with structure, and to replace urgency with calm. Because when it comes to retirement, calm is the most valuable asset you can own. If this book helped you feel a little calmer, a little clearer, or a little more confident about retirement, that's exactly why I wrote it. If you want to talk through your situation, ask questions, or make sure your plan actually lines up with your real life, feel free to reach out. No pressure, no jargon, no fear-based conversations, just clarity. Shoot me an email at joshuawalker@nostressretirementplanning.com. You can also find my office and additional resources at walkerwealthprotection.com. That's walkerwealthprotection.com. Or call my office directly at 719-752-8195. Again, that's 719-752-8195. If we're a good fit, right. If not, I'm still happy you took the time to get informed. Either way, your retirement shouldn't be something you stress about. It should be something you feel ready for. Until next time.
Reached the end of the audiobook, How to Retire Without Freaking Out.